Morning.
Morning.
My name is Dan, and I have some questions for you today. Who are you? And who are you being? The first question is kind of our story that we tell folks.
That was part of it.
Yeah, that's it. You gotta stand. You gotta stand.
The first question, who are you, is kind of the story we tell ourselves about ourselves, whether it's really true or not. I'm not good at math. I don't really cook. I'm really confident. The second is really how we show up, regardless of what our story is. So we might say we're confident, but we're not but not this time, or maybe not that time, or maybe not most of the time, even though we think maybe we are. So I thought today we'd take a look at the four main characters in today's gospel and see which ones you identify with and how you identify with them. So there's God, Jesus, John the Baptist, and then for purposes of discussion, we'll say that there's some observers there too. So the first is the Spirit of God or the voice, right? And I don't know about you, but I sometimes have a tough time identifying with being God in the stories in the gospel. God seems to spend most of his time being powerful and either real pleased or displeased with things. And I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to identify with God many times. But if I put it into the context of maybe graduation or something like that, how many of you here would be surprised if you heard somebody in the congregation say, "This is my daughter Jillian, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased"? Right? People would not be overly surprised to hear that. And suddenly, like, God is more accessible, more connected to us. And so maybe who you are is not God, but maybe who you're being mirrors God in that situation. And there's Jesus. It's also sometimes hard to connect with being Jesus in a lot of these stories. But think about the Old Testament and Moses and most of the big hitters in the Old Testament. They're all powerful characters. What is it that they oftentimes do? They part the waters. They split the seas. They open it up. Jesus doesn't do that today. The heavens open up. So I think the people that Matthew is writing to here would all understand that Jesus just took things to a whole nother level, right? The Moses and the folks in the Old Testament Jesus has set himself apart from them. He doesn't have to part the waters. He's doing the heavens in this particular case. And so Jesus seems to be very powerful in his relationship with John, and we don't always have all the power in the relationships that we have. Still, Jesus is essentially transitioning into his adult life in this story. This is the first scene in his adult life in the Bible. And there's maybe a couple other ones, but we start to identify more easily with Jesus when we think about transitioning, right, as part of a ceremony. So there's a ceremony and there's a new role. Now think about graduation again. Think about marriage. Think about retirement. There's a big ceremony with people that you care about, and suddenly you have new roles and responsibilities. Suddenly it's a little easier to identify with Jesus in this situation. From here, he's going to go off and go to the desert for 40 days and start preaching and figure out what it means to be the Messiah, that sort of thing. And so when you consider parts of your life where you're in transition and that maybe you're being Jesus in this particular story, and when you think about when you're able to see yourself in the divine, it might open a little window to allow yourself to see the divine in yourself as well. So I also think about the observers here. Now, they're there for baptism, which is usually about purification and about restoration and about repentance. I'm not sure that's why Jesus is there, but for the purposes of this conversation, the observers, I see them as not being overly central to this particular story. They're there. They may or may not even know who Jesus is at this point, but they're there. And I don't know about you, but for me, identifying with the observers is oftentimes the easiest thing to do. You know, I took enough initiative to get to the periphery. I got to the edge, but whatever big is happening, it's like right over there. It's like close, but I'm not always the person in the middle of it. So I want you to think, how about you? Do things always seem to be happening just over there in your life? You know, are there times when you could have made a bigger difference, or times when you could have taken a bigger chance or stepped up into another role, as opposed to standing on the banks or in the water, right? So even something small, like when we have family gatherings, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you know, the phrase comes up, all right, who's going to say grace? Right? Then there's this long pause. I mean, that's just an opportunity to step up and take just a little bit more of a role in that situation. So now we come to John the Baptist. Now, he is, as my friend Fred Faulkner might have told me at one point in time, he is a biblical badass. Right? he is a very powerful and intimidating force. I mean, look at this window over here. It doesn't look like somebody would be messed with. Right? He's got the camel hair cloak, he eats locusts, you know, he's not a normal person, but that's not, the external stuff isn't even the stuff that feels intimidating to me. I think it's because he's so passionate and obsessive about his life's purpose, and that's sometimes sort of scary when you see somebody so focused on what their role in the world is, right? So it may be you think it's hard to be John the Baptist in this case, but think about it. John has everything he needs to do what he's supposed to do today, but he's the one who's intimidated, right? So in previous weeks, he said something like, I baptize you with the water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, right? So John's big moment comes. Jesus says, I need you to baptize me. And what does John do? John's like, no, I'm going to dodge. I'm going to resist. I'm going to try and deflect it a little bit, right? Jesus says, let it be so now. So John consents, and he goes from, and in that moment, I think the moment he consents, he goes from being John a Baptist to John the Baptist, right? So now he's done what he needed to do at the time he needed to do it. He rose to the occasion. But I say, come on, what a great luxury that was. Jesus is standing right in front of him, asks him very directly to do something, doesn't even ask him, basically eventually tells him to do it. When do we ever get that direct a communication or a request? Maybe, but not all that often, right? So think about our closing blessing. What do we hear a lot? Sometimes God is but a whisper, right? And think about whispers. Whispers are something that, whether intentionally or not, maybe that was for Carl, or maybe that was for somebody else. Maybe that whisper was for somebody else. Maybe your earthly lives are so busy that you didn't even hear it. There's too much noise going on and you didn't even hear the whisper, right? So so I invite you to try on that you are John, right? But John the inferior, John the not worthy, John the almost not baptizer, John who tried to dodge it and but came through in the end and consented Baptist. And from that place, consider what you will say and what you will do when Jesus asks something of you. So I'm going to ask you again, who are you? That may not really be the important question. Maybe a more important question is, who are you actually being? And what are you actually doing? How are you acting today? So I think we're all sort of standing on the banks of our own personal Jordan Rivers. And so, listen closely. What is Jesus asking of you? Come on, let's get in the water.